that, to me, probably among the most interesting things that you should look for are the things that would, that it would be very hard for the text to change. Right? I remember properly with some of my Archimedean points. Archimedean points are very strong position. Archimedean points are the things that nothing could change. And those are, we all get what the metaphor of Archimedean point is. So we explain it. No. Okay, Archimedes.
From which we can understand everything about a thinker.
Yes, yeah.
I think I know what he's
going. Good, so let me try to explain it.
Because I could be completely wrong, so I'd prefer you to explain.
So Archimedes' point is, right, Archimedes argued famously that since a lever multiplies force in proportion to its length, so an infinite lever exerts infinite force. So therefore, if you can only find a point outside the world, right, on which you stand, you have an infinite lever, you should be able to move the world. Right? So, but the point, right, in the real world, any point in the world, right, the lever, right, doesn't help you at all, you're not moving. Right, so Archimedes' point is the point outside the world, which enables you to move, right, where, every, right, where you move everything else, you move the entire rest of the world at that point. That's the fixed point. Okay, so I like the, so it's important to discover the Archimedean point of Phocion. Those are the things that, right, that they start from, and that's right, and their left, right, and their flexible levers will all be based on, only based on that point. And those are extreme positions. Those are the things where Bosek, you know, says, you know, even if you, you know, Shua Bin Nun came in front of me and presented a sign trip of the Mojo Rebbe, it wouldn't make any difference to me at all. There are issues, there are places which I think are less strong in Archimedes' point. They might call the a priori assumptions. Right? They're the places that a Plosik starts from, and it would take a lot of pressure to move them off that. Okay? You know, they're positions that they hold, and that they are willing to reinterpret sugya to some extent. Right? They're willing to make distinctions to some extent to avoid it. Right? They have different levels of strength. Sometimes they're willing to take a slightly dopey interpretation of the sugya, sometimes they're willing to make a somewhat creative interpretation, right? And sometimes they're willing to make stronger ones. Yes, sir.
So, in this case, most has an a priori assumption that Kabbalah Be'at Simcha is only Derech Messiah.
I don't know. Look at it and see if he's right. See if he, in fact, right? There aren't an a priori assumption like the Rambam. We'll see. Something like it, right? Let's see if he formulated it like that. I would say, like, to me, like, if I were skimming Chabot and were asking me, right, you know, read 30 Chabot in a row and what's the interesting thing to do, so one thing to look for is, how do they handle the Tosfot, which says that Kabbalah is Asar Afil Vazara? And we discover is that nobody, I think it's fair to say, nobody is willing to consider that Tosfot is true. They all find ways, right, in which that Tosfot means something other. Then, right, it's not like if you start it, Tosfot, you might say that. That's really, why do you want to modify that?
Because I think that Rav Ovadia Yosef does very well with it, and I think in Kofin's in according to Pshat, because he also brings the Piskei Tosfot, which says Afil Tzorach Mamon, and makes that Chiluk. But that Chiluk is given that extra source, I think that Chiluk is Pshat of Tosfot.
Okay,
that
Ravadia
may not have needed
to resort to reinterpretation.
Yeah, he has two Tosfot. They say the same thing. One just has more of a condition, and he implies a condition where it's perfectly
okay,
readable.
Good, so we'll get to Ravadia and we'll see if we
I didn't look up at that source, but I didn't know how to.
Okay, yes.
I'm struck that no one seems to give what I thought would be the easiest defi in that Tosfot, is that Tosfot is explaining Havamina in the Gemara. Who says
this
says that has anything to do with Pesach?
This is true. And the interesting question also, right, at the same issue, like why don't they try and find a Cheshbon way out of this and claim that Tosfot only say that, right, that was a that
well,
was
they maybe like the idea that you can't take someone says $20 I'll give you $20 to break your nose. They don't want someone to do it. And therefore they use
the result.
What?
You think it's just because they like the result?
Yeah.
That gives up both ways, so they put it in the Tzoref, they won't take out the Tzoref, but then they don't like the result being too strong, so that's a lot of work, right, for that to do with that test. But yes, David.
No, I would say that if you are taking the position that
in Adamrasha Lahwabat, then that Tosfot is not just the Hava Mina, because the idea of that Tosfot is that why did we bring this Brisa? It's because this is what we are trying to prove.
I think that's right. I tend to think that's right, that the way Tosfot reads the sugya is saying that the whole Mahok is only about the Torah and not. I think that's right. I still have the instinct that there should be a way to get out of it, or you would just say, we don't pass him like Tosfot. But no one seems to raise, right? No one seems to just say, well, Tosfot is a weird interpretation of Gemara. Right? And that's really, it's really interesting to me that they don't do that. I don't find the only explanation quite satisfactory, but I have a better one.
Yeah, everyone seems to be conflating all the different traditions that say it's Osir. And you know, they say, well, they have to be Yosef and Tosfot and the Rambam, and where they could be completely incompatible, even if they both come to the conclusion of Osir.
I don't think complete wrong with Tosfot. Not so many people are willing to choose among them. I'm not sure conflating is quite true. I don't know if anybody combines Torah and Yosef. Right? People assume that Torah and Yosef are different standards.
They just think we just need to make sure it's what's according to all.
Yeah, I think that's more. I think that's more the case. I haven't seen Yisayon and Sora conflated quite. The problem is, like the Sosa said, it's Osir and Sora, but Osir is Mutter there and Yisayon.
No.
Right, so if you conflated, that would be the other way around. So Sosa is being directed, it doesn't be directed out. So I think it's hard to do. Okay, so with that introduction, let's take a look at a Tosfos Yachid. Tosfos Yachid, so far as I know, is the case of first impression. I think he's right. He's the first person to address the issue of plastic surgery. This is not based on exhaustive research. It's based on putting the appropriate terms in the bar line. And so I don't think we're going to let him know anything earlier either. But that's not the ultimate solution. My addition to bar line is several good updates. So he has two issues, really only one of which interests us, which is why I have excerpted. The first question is how plastic surgery relates to the issue of the role of Asmatha, and the second is the broad question of whether operations per se are antithetical to Sakana. So I'm not so interested this summer in the question of Sakana, so I left that part into the larger out, although that obviously becomes significant where Vladimir says comes up to the political approach. So it relates to the whole issue at the end. Okay, so the question is plastic surgery mother. So the first thing he does is he quotes the test. Okay, having quoted the test of which generates an iser even with Sarah. And then he raises the question of whether there are the Isra Kavala, that is Dura Sadra Lak. Now that is a very peculiar move, since the whole question of Tosfot is why do we need, what are we trying to prove from the Sukkim? Right, so to try, because I think it's a stranger question, to try and make Tosfot's position compatible with the position of, that the Isra Kavala Basmata is only Drabban, that I think is a very hard move to make. Way of reconciling it?
And what pesukim here?
The three pesukim in the sugya, right? After dim kamen after teichem, or
the other at that part, I'm missing the one in the middle, which is
Baltashikas. Right? Tosfot says the reason for each of the, Tosfot says for each of those three, the only purpose is to aser, right?
Because as opposed to just the pasuk of Baltas.
Okay. Fine. So Tess's argument is that these pesukim are quoted only to attempt to prove the Isra of Ilusara. And if you're talking about Drabban,
well,
how can you prove
the Bryce thing? The Bryce is not a pasuk. The Bryce is just I'm a Briel Mace, yes, we die.
Right.
It doesn't quote a pasuk. The Rabbi Lazar al Kapar can be fucked with.
And you can play with it. How can you prove an Isra Drabban from the Halacha Deraisa, right, from places that are Deraisa?
But you have to assume that they're Deraisa. It's not proving them directly from Pesukim, it's proving to them from Bryceau that utilize Kuvian.
But those Bryceau never address global plasma, so they only address suicide and autophagy and fasting.
Well, I mean, the suicide one was not, doesn't seem to be seriously considered, but I think that the only one that we're really working with are autophagies and suicide.
Okay. So I have a puzzle that teaches me that autophagy is a fringe tree suppressor. How does that prove me that the insider of honor doesn't figure so?
It doesn't, but the Bryceau does. The Bryceau isn't quoting the passage about fruit trees. The Bryceau just says, I'm a grain of maceos and you die.
But Tosfos is...
That might be an issue to Rabbana.
But Tosfos, isn't Tosfos' question, why do we quote the Bryceau? What is the purpose of quoting the Tzukim? Shouldn't that like to be self-evident? And the answer is that we quote the Tzukim in order to prove?
No, not just the... No, why are we quoting the Bryceau instead of the passage?
Yeah.
The Bryceau about Hamakarei Ala Meis.
Yeah, okay, so we should probably go back. I have a little bit of time,
except for maybe that one place
because
in Fusion.
He says first
no,
there.
Fuck
Eric. And then,
Fusion, but
as he goes on,
he
says the
Brissel.
Does
not mean
they say the Orisa?
The Irish.
Yes, hold on.
It's the favorite.
What's the exact language of this
true?
No.
Okay, then even in
all the cases.
That's
the
Robana.
No.
It
should be the Brissel. Says Drush is a Brissel.
Yeah,
let
me back down there.
This is a Missoula that I have from the reports.
This is
Rav Hurwitz said that Divrei Sofim in the Rambam always means the Rabbanon.
The Davidor?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. He cited some scholars like he usually does, they don't remember their names.
And he's like, go read this article and that article and that article.
Anyway, Rosenzweig disagrees.
I don't agree at all. I think physics of the novel really means anything that is not anything that requires interpretation. It's going to be
But there are some people who understand the Rambam's position of all drasha to be asmachta.
See, I think that the Rambam has a category of halacha Moshe Sinai, and that's all. And the rest are all halacha Moshe Sinai, which are things that are derived from pshat from it. In a very simple sense of pshat, things that are reinterpreted, things that are interpreted what they have in the literal sense. Everything else is different.
Okay, so he starts out, then.
Okay, let's go back. What exactly did he say with the Arisa?
He said, "Ein adam rishay lechavol b'atzmo mikatar."
Okay.
And then later on, then he says, "Apol pishamru ein adam rishay lechavol b'atzmo yishbash lechavol b'atzmo shkuachal alav ad shi lochavol b'zman shekavol b'atzmo chayav b'shul shvur b'toy."
Yeah, that's where the fudge is the word asmach goes.
Right. But
like
he also says me hatar in the beginning.
Right.
So
it sounds like the Ivrei Sofer. It just means like what the Rambam says it means according to you, is it's not the furish of the child of the psukim.
But it still is from the Torah.
Yeah, the problem is where asmach goes.
Asmachta, he may mean like the Ritva's asmachta.
He may mean like the Ritva's asmachta. I tend to be just very suspicious of the theory being anything metaphysical, other than that you can say both subtle ways. I think Mary sometimes just plays with people's minds, and he comes out on both sides of the hero. I don't have any better way of doing it. It happens too often to be accidental.
Svengdinim.
Usher and Mitter.
I don't know.
Okay.
So
he was writing to different audiences.
Now that it's been happily pointed, the Black Commission is taking the same position for just some weeks now. Because the guy who explains the Machlok of John and Yuri, I'm willing to concede that Yuri is certainly not demonstrable. That is right, so that is thrown on. That's move number two. I tend to agree that the language in Yuri sounds much more like the Rabbah that he had in front of the Yuri Rasmata, and somebody should write a paper on the Yuri Rasmata in Yuri to actually sound like it actually be something like this, because it was somewhat sort of there, right? So we're not. So he's happy at this point saying there's a Machlokes Bahar's Deraisa or Rabbah. Now that's going to lead to his major move, right? So what's his major move throughout the Shuddha?
Being embarrassed is tsar.
Being embarrassed is tsar, and
this is okay.
Yeah, right. The fact
it's a legitimate get out of Kabbalah free card.
Why?
Because it's refuah to
no.
Do. Well, he equates it with tsar, and you can get it. Yeah.
So even if you can't do Kabbalah tzorech, you can do Kabbalah for tsar.
Why?
Because that seems to be the position of Tosfot and Shabbat.
Okay, good. But why does he get the? Why should you get out of this?
Because, because it's more tsar, it would be more tsar the one way than it is the other way, so.
I'm a broad principle. Very, very broad principle.
Utilitarianism?
No.
Net tsar.
No. The Malcolm tsar will go to Rabban.
Oh, okay.
I don't think his
but he never says it.
Position
does he have a
Holloway on Koskinen
no.
Is Rabban. I think he has two steps. One is, even if it's the Raisa, Sar is sufficient to overcome it. And then, you know, I think that it's the Rabbanan, and then the Rabbanan will
Sar. Okay, interesting. I think it's the other way around. I think it's that if it's the Rabbanan, we got home free. Now we only have an outside sheet of it. Now we have a sheet of the Yafi the Ram. It's the Raisa. Let's see if we can find a way to convert that. But okay, that's. Right, that's the
Sheikh is Yafi and the Rambam, keeping in mind that the way he's reading the Miri is fairly dumb.
Well, that's you. But I
and even though, and the Ron backed up the Rambam, and so it's not just the Rambam.
Okay, so maybe I'm wrong. Right, maybe I'm wrong. I thought the underlying assumption of the Shiva was that all the Rabbanan are the Rambam's are. If it's the Rabbanan, he doesn't need to prove anything. And if it's the Rabbanan, then it's obvious that Tosfos would not write. That when Tosfos says Asra Afilu Tzara, that wouldn't include Tzar, because how could there be Asra Afilu Tzar? And that solves the whole problem with Tosfos.
אבל המקובל במשפט הזה שזה צער גופני ממש, נגיד הצער של האדם שירא, זה לא מספיק בכלל. אז הוא צריך להגדיר את הבושה הזאת כצער גופני ממש.
Ah, dude, so where does he have an explicit right that Tosfos holds that Tzar?
That's
Tosfos and Shabbos.
Again.
Exactly right. I mean, that's his whole, right? You know, he knows that the tsar that is not your Durabanam includes tsar Sikhalogi from Tosfos. Right? So that, right, that's from that he makes the opinion out of Durabanam, so to speak. That all Durabanam does, that, right? All, he knows that the Gosling of Tsar Logos Durabanam. Tosfos himself says that the tsar includes, right, includes the kind of tsar, right? Right? So now he's home free. Right? Now the only thing he has to deal with is the Rambam. That's the way I understand the structure of the Shiva. That's why he opens it up by setting up the Machlokes, so that he can tell you, yes, he did.
I mean, I thought the reason was because it answers his problem at the end with Nimuka Yosef. That, right, when this is that, right, by the same logic, right, you should be able to dye your beard also.
Yes.
And then Nimuka Yosef there says it's Usser, and that's because it's a Doraisa. Right, and so in that case, okay, well, how are we going to make a distinction? We'll have to say this is Durabanan. So it only gets him out of that.
It also gets him out of that.
Well, you can say that it also gets him out of that. I mean, I'm not sure you need to say that it gets him out of this, too. I mean, you can if you want, but Tosfos never says specifically that it's, you know.
The structure is that he knows up front that there's a Tosfos that says Tsar is Mutter, there's a Mutter, right?
Right, but he also knows up front there's a Nimuka Yosef that says that dying your beard is Usser.
That's fine. I think he assumes the rest of the distinction. I think he is
right. No, me right.
That's the difference between the Mukiyos and the Tosfos. I'm assuming that background was it. But we're through the okay. Very good. Okay. So now he goes to the Tamisos Machloket. He goes to the Shulmarat and he will deal with our case from the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Rabbah Paskin that the Dafke Sheishon Akher of Alainshon Akher Bulis Sair. And the Midiri. He comes to the conclusion, right? He calls it Mivur Lehedya, the Mutter Megam Mitzvah, Lapto Ever, Afli Sakana, Rapshe Mitzvah. Okay, let's take it as a given, right? How many of you are comfortable with the position? Fingers in shape. What?
To be fair, I don't think that's exactly what he means.
Exactly.
No, I don't.
Meaning you can live with the limb and it's not going to damage the rest of
your
body.
Your arm
there's
not necessarily a lethal infection, but it's your
in
arm
pain.
Is going to remain totally in pain, you know, forever unless you amputate.
Yeah.
That's, I think,
that. Your arm is going to remain in pain forever unless you amputate.
In which case it will remain in pain, but on its own.
It's a more reasonable position. Right. Intuitively.
Yeah,
it's more reasonable than intuitively. So sort of, you would not. You would take a lot of time to convince you.
In other words, it's not arbitrary limb severance.
To read the Tshuva charitably.
Yes.
Well, there's an easier way out of it, which is to claim that some notion of the Yafel Hashlo Bechet Neivara. That you know you can chop off someone's finger to stop it from itching, only if that's the only way of stopping it from itching. But Where do you, right, but...
Right, but it still hurts a lot more to chop it off than it does to...
It also hurts a lot more, right? Right? They have the binding case, so boom. So let's limit it now, right? So the thesis he is now advancing is that it is permitted to chop off a limb when chopping off the limb will be less painful than allowing the limb to remain.
Questions?
Right? But let's suppose...
What if you have someone who has a lot of psychological pain, so much that it feels more severe to them than physical pain? So that, you know, their, you know, crooked finger, looking at it bothers them far more than the amount of pain that the surgery would cause.
Good question.
But you can say,
like,
you know, someone who's
starting.
Well,
I think he's finished for it now.
That's
his point. That's is better.
Let's suppose it's physical pain. Right? Can I? Are you comfortable with the notion that I can remove limbs simply to prevent physical pain? Something you can do it in a way. Here's the tension that the video was trying to bring. What happens if the pain is temporary? The removal of the limb is permanent, but I can remove the limb in a way which will not cause pain long term. So I can permanently solve a short term pain problem without creating a new pain problem, just causing missing limb.
What depends?
10 minutes.
Well, when you put it that way.
You stub your toe, right? He said, well, look, we can put you under, we can inject a local anesthetic, remove the toe. Many people did not believe in COVID.
Well, with small,
it's like the
with small children, it's like who's, you know, really seriously in pain.
The sketch in Monty Python's Meaning of Life where they amputate his leg in his sleep and tell him it was a tiger. It's very funny.
I think we should watch it as a visual aid to this cheer.
Uh-huh.
It's like when you have a younger sibling who like stubbed their toe and won't stop screaming about it. You know, it might just be easier for the rest of us just to amputate the toe with anesthetic. We'll get you a new one.
Okay, so maybe some of you can come to terms with that outcome. Although most of you are feeling compelled to do some kind of restriction as to the amount of pain. Yes.
So throughout this whole summer program, you seem to dance around and completely not include anything that has to do with mental illness, which is interesting. One thing that this whole studio makes me think of, I don't know how anything, I doubt anything's been addressed as far as Shibuya or whatever, is when you have individuals cut themselves, they're not actually experiencing pain. It's causing endorphins to be released. To us, it looks like pain. You're causing yourself to bleed. It's actually calming to your head, and that's why, to whatever sort of anxiety or depression that you're going through, and that it releases it.
That's I have danced that around it too, deliberately.
I know.
That's a topic by Foucault. Right, you know, certain forms of all people, certain types of pain, and I agree with you. I think that the short answer, the short answer is that we don't have a standard for what constitutes are. This is the same as Dr. Appleton talked about. Is that, you know, can you talk about local issues of competence?
But they're not incompetent.
That's right. So we can talk about local issues of competence, right? Where you say, on this issue, we say someone saw that type of blood up without ventilators. And I think you're right, because that's not the issue that we address. It's not the issue I want to address right now at that, but you're right. And probably in any specific case, it might be that any specific case would have to address that question. Because it's not even a question of consent. Because I might say, I know that it helps this person do something.
Right.
But, you know, you don't have to deal with, you know, I think that's right. I just can't address it right now. I think the question is right. Yes, right.
I just find it kind of amusing that we're getting into this.
this room with another person and you see that this person's in pain, and we say, like, that it's a mixture for you to, what, I mean, I don't, I guess you have some kind of medical experience, whatever. I mean, it's sort of not clear, like, if this person asks you to do it versus or if the one decides that you get to do it. I mean, sort of come back to, like,
Absolutely. So what I want to do, precisely what I'm setting this up for, was I want you to be aware of the reductio ad absurdum for the claim that consent is not necessary. Right? Because at certain, right, because if you want to claim, right, that medicine by definition is mutter and does not require consent. Right. So I want to push that and say, well, okay, let's look at the extreme kinds of medicine that are permitted. Are you really going to say that those kinds of things are permitted without consent?
Right. Of course, nose jobs.
Right. Exactly right. I would be in pain if I had nose like that. There are cases like that. There really are cases like that, you know, where plastic, you know, where people are under anesthetic for some reason, somebody said, well, why don't I do them a favor?
Like the Twilight Zone episode.
No, not like the Twilight Zone episode.
It's
a great Twilight Zone episode, but that's not what they do in it.
She wants consent.
Right.
I'm sure there will eventually be a version of, you know, the reality show called Extreme, but the Extreme Makeover of the Body. The neighbors report you for having the worst nose in America. And America votes about what sort of nose you should have now. We all them all for free. Right? You don't got any. You're not in the next room they create, or your wife, they bring you out. Everyone gets to watch the reaction.
But wouldn't it be both of the
reality shows are awesome, though. I have the only stop nation yet ever in public is that it is awesome to watch reality television. Well, it came up for a big, because again, students actually, an Orthodox student's family participated in reality show and actually asked me if that was advanced.
Clearly, it was not received.
Wait, any reality show? There's different ones.
Yes, there's bad and less bad.
That's not true.
The story I always tell in class is I only watch one, which was, and then we talk about whether you can be called a candy camera, which I watched in my youth. But I watched this show called, I don't even remember the name, where your neighbors report you for having the worst taste in the country, and so they walk in and they remove everything from your house.
Oh, no, I think it's
extremely
good.
Should we take a Roman dish? Yes. They remove everything from your house and redo your entire house while you're sitting in some other room and was about talking about, you know, whether this is a good idea or not. So your neighbors report you. I think the worst thing, you get two things, you get to save two things. So this woman gets to save, right? She saved one thing. So she saved the clock her mother gave her for her wedding.
Oh.
The only thing she saved in the house. And they removed the entire house and repainted some hideous shape. But it's some truly awful furniture. It's not real clear that they improved it, but after all, her neighbors all agreed that she had the worst taste in the world. And then, they let her back in. Just without the letter back in, they say, that one thing you saved, we'll offer you what's left in the truck, if you'll throw that out too. The one thing that she has access to. And they don't tell her what's in the truck. Right? So they count the prices right. So what's left in the truck? And she gives it up. And it takes the clock and throws it in the trash. And she gets some cheap home DVD set. You want to know what it means not to have dignity? It's so awesome.
No, reality TV is centered around
very
basic.
Why is it
emotions.
Better if it's fictional?
Well, Shabbat Ting is a relative thing, right? Well, Shabbat Ting is bad, but you could be doing worse things. And besides, I'm down the cusp of sleep, but probably, you know, you're watching Star Trek or something like that.
Other
rabbinically sanctioned
I am.
Now available to watch online for free.
You're trying to see what pictures look like, so when you read the transcripts of House, you have some kind of visual image. Watch for moments when you read the transcripts, so you can see, you know, you have some picture in your head. That's why, you know, I never watched House. But reality television is just us. It's like comedy. is propping, is giving money for people's humiliation. And even if you hold it, that the riot basket goes with it, it's still, you know, you shouldn't be encouraging.
I think I would argue that for most of TV, but whatever.
Okay.
It's not our conversation.
Okay, I think it's okay to go fight.
The West Wing is a very embarrassing show, yes.
Right? Yeah, so I think you know how you deal with slapstick is a real issue. But I tend to think that persona are different than real people. Like if you throw a fight at persona, you're not actually humiliating them. But if you throw a fight at a real person who really cares about the people, then you're just humiliating them.
Or beating them.
I don't think you should, you know, this is the whole question of the informed consent in third world country. If I have a starving person, I offer them bread, and I say, I'll give you a pipe, you have to let me throw your face first. And is that actually consent? Because they agree, or is it coercion? Because if I have the pie, I should be able to, I should give it to them.
It's like a sweatshop or child labor argument, really. Well, they're willingly, you know, working in the sweatshop. Really,
but,
yeah.
Okay, back to where we were. So let's grant that there's a plausible way of constructing the Kalpatiakos conclusion. And as I say, part of the reason I want to do this is precisely because the issue that Rory raised, which is every time you say that something is mutter, you raise the stakes for informed consent. If that's something for fool, you raise the mutter is for fool, you raise the stakes for informed consent. For the more extreme thing. Because the more extreme things you allow as refuah, if refuah doesn't require consent, then you have to allow the things as consent without consent. But what about in the text? Do you think that the Kalpatiakos is a compelling read of the text? Is it, in fact, the correct conclusion to derive from the sources that, quote, before the hedge of the mutter began mitzvah to ever after the sakana rachi misayar, the aser lo the yesh after the yeshi goes panic with kadama. So, how many of you think that was a good conclusion to draw?
Well, the question, I think, the main question I have with most of these sources is how good of a distinction can you make, especially when you have the line in Kama,
yeah,
between Sa and Kavata and Rufua. Like, she's getting so beautiful that she has bullshit versus actual healing.
Uh-huh.
And
so
conflating
the question of whether this is star, right? I'm not.
No, I'm saying as a reader of the text, can you make that next step that most of that he does?
Ramosha thinks it's not a problem at all.
Okay, so let's distinguish. There are two different moves. One move is that all these things are mutter for tsar, and the second move is that this counts as tsar. Okay, I'm not interested in the second move right now. I'm just interested in the first move.
Okay.
His claim is that anything which is mutter for sakana is mutter for tsar. Right, that's right. That, right, anything which is mutter as refuah to avoid sakana is mutter as refuah for tsar. Right, that's the equation he makes. So is that equation justified by his sources? So let's go back. Let's look at what the Rama says. The Rama says, the dafka shiyesham after, avol ein sham after v'hu mitzayer, arei makizo dekote lo tisi mashe yirshehu ba'asa. The question is, does Ramon mean, when he said, does he mean to imply that Mitzayer is a henter for removing an Eber? I want to suggest absolutely not. Why not?
Sounds like he's just referring back to Lachis Dab.
So it could be Lachis Dab. Right, you can just claim that. That, I think, is a little bit doping because it's in the same sentence.
The question is, what part of the sentence is he looking
at?
Yeah.
But that's one way. I think there's an even better way out of it. I don't think there's an even better way out of it. All right. Here's the case. I walk in, And I see someone, well, it's a relative, right? So my father, I guess that's my father, right? And my father.